Morning, everyone. So this is me pushing myself out of my comfort zone. I've done little talks with the kids and that before, but not a full sermon, so I hope it'll be okay. And what Jill was just talking about to do with fruit is kind of what I'm talking about this morning, so that linked in really well. Just to start with, I want you just to have a chat with the person next to you, have a think. If I said to you, who are you? What would you say? If you were introducing yourself to someone, who are you? What would you say? Okay. Any thoughts from anyone? What sort of things would you say? Anyone want to shout out anything they'd say? Lovely. So you might say, I'm a husband or a wife, and introduce your partner. Okay, lovely, new beginner. Yeah, your name, lovely, yeah. A mum, yeah. Yeah, I wrote down a few. Who am I? I'm a mum, I'm a wife, I'm a teacher as my other job when I'm not here. I'm a Christian. For those of you that have known me for more than half a second, I'm a Take That fan. I'm sure most of you already know that. And I'm a woman, you know, different people as well, we might say different things about. But we're going to think about today about I am. And in the Bible, in Exodus, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And at that time, he was referring to saying he was the one true God, I am. But when Jesus came, he gave seven I am statements. So this in itself was a statement, because he was saying, by saying I am, that he was God, which was quite a shocking thing at that time. But also, each of the I am statements revealed something to his followers about who he was and gave more insight about him to the people that lived there. So today, we're going to look at I am the vine, which is John 15, verse 1 to 11. So I've got the verses up on the board. I'll just read them out for us now. So, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remained in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So this passage is all about Jesus telling us that he's the vine. And the vine in the Old Testament was used to be a symbol for Israel. So in the Old Testament, Israel was the chosen nation by God, who were supposed to be fruitful. Their aim was to bless others by being good fruit, and by their relationship with God, show others the way to God. But as we know from all the different stories in the Old Testament, at many times they chose to turn away from their relationship with God. They worshipped idols, or they kept God's blessing for themselves and didn't share it with others. So God promised that one day a true vine would come. And this is Jesus saying he is that true vine that God has sent. But not only is he the vine, but it also tells us that we are the branches. So what does this mean? Well, we know that a plant or vine has leaves and branches, but they need to be attached to the vine to grow. Every time we look at a plant or a vine or whatever outside, we can trace it down from the flower to the branch, going all the way down, down the stem, into the ground, and then the roots and the nutrients that come up into the vine and then into the branches. So the vine is like the power source for the plant. It gives the plant or the vine all of the water and the nutrients that it needs to grow. Now, I've got a lovely flower here that I picked off the lovely bush at the front there. I'll probably get told off later. So this flower looks beautiful now, but if I take it home as it is, even if I put it in a bit of water, it might last a couple of days if I'm lucky in a bit of water, but then it will die because it's not attached to the plant anymore. It's got no way of getting what it needs. Even if I give it water, it can't get the nutrients and everything that it needs to grow. So if I left it just like this, probably even by this afternoon, it would be all dried up and have gone not very pleasant anymore. The same with my phone. Yeah, my phone needs attaching to the power source to run properly. If I just leave it, it will die of the battery and then it won't work anymore. So that's the same kind of thing. It needs to be plugged in. So if we are the branches and Jesus is the vine, then just like the sap in the vine carries the nutrients around to each branch to give the right conditions to grow fruit, that's what Jesus does for us. When we accept the Holy Spirit, he comes inside us and gives us the nutrients we need to grow and bear fruit. So that's just like the sap takes round, the Holy Spirit comes round us and gives us the nutrients that we need to grow and bear fruit. But to bear fruit and grow, the verse doesn't just say, you know, we just plug ourselves in once and that's it. It says in this version, it says remain in the vine. In the old version, it says abide in the vine. Yeah. And abide. So verse 4 says, remain in me and I in you. A branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. And then later on, it also says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, I counted up 10 times in these 11 verses is the word remain or abide. So it's obviously really important if it's in there that many times. So with the branches on the vine, you know, if they're growing grapes or whatever, the vines don't kind of think, oh, do you know what? We've had enough here now. We're a bit bored. We're going to go off somewhere. And they walk off the tree, go somewhere else for a bit and then come back again. They're always there. They're staying there all the time to grow. And abide means to dwell or to remain, to stay or to continue. It's a constant thing. So many times, and I'm including myself in this, please don't think, you know, I think I can do it on my own without God. I take myself off somewhere and I try and do it on my own, sometimes not even realizing it. Sometimes we can intentionally do that, but other times just with the busyness of life and doing things, we just get on with it on our own all the time. And when I was a teenager, there was a kind of little saying that I wrote in my Bible at the time, which was, if you feel far away from God, guess who moved? And I used to have that in my Bible reminding me. You know, the flower, my phone, the iPad, they'll be able to go a little while without the power source and they won't look any different for a while until my phone actually runs out of battery. It looks exactly the same. But at the end, after a little while, gradually, the petals will start dropping off of the flower, or the flowers will start to go brown, or the battery will run out of my phone because it's not plugged in to the life source that's needed. And that's the same with us. If we're not plugged into God, we might look the same on the outside, but gradually the wheels will start falling off until we're not looking all right on the inside, or sometimes the outside as well. So how do we abide in God and stay in the vine? Well, it's kind of the same as any relationship. To grow a friendship, or if you're in a partnership, a romantic relationship, you need time and commitment to do it. If you have friends, you make time to see them. You meet up to have a chat. You might send them messages in the daytime to check they're all right. You call them, you think about them. Imagine having a friend who only spoke to you when they wanted something, and the rest of the time they completely ignored you. If you saw them somewhere, they just completely ignored you and walked past. Sometimes they spoke to you for a minute and then just were like, oh, I've forgotten about the washing or something, and went off and did something completely different. They only talked about themselves. They made promises they didn't keep, and all they did was talk about their own life and never asked about yours. We wouldn't want to stay in a friendship like that, would we? But actually, we're very lucky that God is gracious, because how often are we like that with God? All the time. Thankfully, God isn't human like us. He doesn't get fed up with us and say, oh, fine, that's it. He carries on. He loves us. He's gracious. But how many times are we like that with God? We only talk to him when we need something. Or we pray for something, and then when it happens, we don't actually say thank you afterwards. We're just like, oh, great, that's happened now, brilliant, next thing, and we go on, and we don't thank him for it. Or, and this is something that I have been very guilty of lots of times, we go to an amazing Christian conference, or we go to have an amazing service, and we make all these amazing promises to God that we never keep. Yeah, we do that. I mean, I'm the worst for New Year. I'm like, I make really silly Christian promises. Like, I'm going to read the whole Bible, you know, I'm going to read a Bible for an hour every day and do this, that and the other. And then after 5 minutes, it's gone. You know, we just make these promises and we don't keep them. And how often do we talk to God lots, but never, ever stop to listen to what he's actually saying to us as well? We all do it all the time. And this isn't a sermon to make you feel guilty about what you're not doing, but to say, you know, God loves us and he wants to spend time with us. And we need to do that to abide in God, to learn and to grow. We need to be spending time with God, but realistically, not setting ourselves unrealistic promises that are never going to happen, because that just, then we feel really negative and then you stop doing it. You know, if you give yourself too big a task and you can't do it after day two, then you just don't do it at all. Whereas if you start really small, then there's always room to grow and spend more time if you've got more time, but it can stop you feeling that, you know, that failure for not doing it to start with. So simple things, finding a bit of time every day to read the Bible or pray, you know, worshipping corporately together and privately. Finding time to talk to God and listening to what he says. Coming to church to learn, hear from others, going to a life group, which again, like Darren said with the Alpha, you know, on a Sunday, it's a lot of listening. You don't get a lot of time to question and chat together. That's where life group comes in. That's where you get the chance to talk about things like that, question stuff together, support each other, and also be accountable to one another as well. The life group that I go to at my church, you know, we're accountable to each other. We say, oh, actually, I feel God's telling me to do that more at the minute. And then next time we meet, people will be like, oh, what if I have, not in a, how have you been doing with that in a nasty way, but, you know, in a supportive way to support each other. And we need to keep God's commands. But this can sound quite daunting, and we're all really busy, you know, but starting just small, putting a little bit of time aside each day to spend with God is really important, however small it is. Or try finding little spaces during the day when you can be aware of his presence, you know, when you're doing other things, so that it's not adding something extra onto the burden. So for example, I've started now recently, I always in the morning put the radio on going to work in my 5, 10, 15 minute drive, you know, Capital Radio, whatever I listen to. Now I just put worship music on the way on my phone. I'm doing the same journey, doesn't make any difference to me. You know, it's not putting myself out in any way, But it just, I just feel that then I start the day in a different place because I've had that time of actually worshipping God in the car as I'm driving along with the worship rather than just listening to other music. You know, or if you're the type of person that likes podcasts or listening to the Bible online or whatever, you could just put that on in the car or as you're walking along, just, you know, little things like that. Chatting to God as we're walking along about our day. You know, as we're cooking or washing, you can just be having a conversation with God in our heads. It's not got to be a, I take myself off. It's lovely to have time to take yourself off and pray and spend proper quality time with God. But equally, you know, as we're doing things around the house in the day or in the evening, we can easily just be chatting to God while you're doing that. You know, walking down the road and thinking of three things that you can thank God for as you're walking along. As we're getting dressed in the morning, asking God, you know, will you help me today? Will you clothe me in your love? Help me to speak to people. We're all really busy people and we do need to spend quality time with God as well. But we also need to find ways that work for us to help us abide in Christ in our busy schedule as well. And that won't be the same for anyone else. You know, what works for you won't work for the next person. So it's brilliant to share with each other things that do work, because then you might get ideas you didn't have before. But equally, to be graceful, you know, that just because something works for you, that might not work at all for somebody else as well. But it's just finding these ways that we can abide. So what happens when we do abide in God? Verse 5 says, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. So what fruit will we produce? It's such a weird thing to start talking about fruit. My mind straight away goes to like apples and pears and things like that, you know, and you're thinking like, what on earth is that about? What do I want to be growing that for? But it's not that kind of fruit. We're talking about living lives that will honour God. Basically, the fruit of the Spirit. So if we got the verse up with the fruit of the Spirit on it. So Galatians 5:22-23. There we go. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, Jesus characterized all of these things. And when we read the Bible, we can see how he did all of those in all of his actions. And obviously, we're human. We're not going to be able to do all of these all of the time, but our aim is that we get to develop each of these all week long, not just when we're in church or in places, you know, where we're putting on a face for other people and trying to be on our best behavior, but all week long, you know, when we're in the school run in the morning and the kids are half dressed at like 5 minutes before you've got to leave for school, or your husband's forgotten to get something that you asked him to, and you've got 5 minutes to get something ready. It's at all points that we need to be aiming to be living out and our lives becoming more and more like Jesus. And as we connect to Jesus, as he's the source of life, the Holy Spirit fills our life and good fruit starts to appear. It happens naturally. You know, on the vine, the grapes don't suddenly sit at the end and say, oh, I'm going to start growing now. It naturally happens. It's a natural process. As the nutrients go through the vine to the branches, they start to grow. But it's also important to recognize that it takes time for that fruit to grow. Yeah, when grapevines are planted, they don't grow grapes for quite a long while. And it can take years until the grapes are good enough to actually be used for wine. This isn't a quick, you know, quick fix. We pray and we, you know, pray a couple of times and we're suddenly doing all of these things and it's great. You know, we're always going to be working on these things. We're human. We're not perfect. And as we, you know, I've heard people recently say, as they've come to know God, your life changes. Things you did before, you change. You know, gradually, things change. But quite often, when we've been a Christian for a long while, we can kind of just forget about this and sort of just get on with being a Christian and forget that actually, however long we've been a Christian, we should be growing all of these things all the time. And it can be really easy to sort of just forget about them and get on with things. So it can take time, but over time, the fruit grows. And for us, not just time, but the more time we abide in God, the more the fruit will grow. And just as, you know, if you went out and you saw an apple tree, you'd recognize the apple tree by its fruit. You might not recognize it if it had no apples on it. It could be another type of tree, unless you're very good at, you know, biology and knowing what trees which. We recognize the trees when we're out by the fruit that's growing on it. And that is the same with us. We're recognized by our fruit. We show Jesus to others by our fruit. You can't see the nutrients going up the stem of the vine. You know, you can't see the electricity going through the cable from the phone to the plug. It's happening, but we can't see it. What we can see is what's produced at the other end. We can see the flower that's grown, so we know that the tree's working properly, otherwise this wouldn't appear. And we know the electricity's gone through, otherwise the phone would be dead. And that is what we see. We see the end product. We see the fruit. And there's nothing worse than when, you know, you look forward to a nice piece of fruit. So, you know, I'm on my healthy thing since being diagnosed with the diabetes. And so I really look forward to fruit now, not like I would have done before. And you pick like a really nice orange that you've looked forward to having for pudding. And then when you peel it and you open it, either inside it's gone horrible and you didn't notice because the outside still looks fine, or it's gone really dry with no juice in it, or you eat it and it tastes really sour and horrible, and that's awful, and that puts us off eating it. That's the same with us. Our good fruit points people to God, but if we're not producing good fruit and we're not living in the way God wants, then we can actually point people away from God and put them off. And there's lots of times over the years that the, you know, not this church, but, you know, the church in general has done that. And people have met Christians that haven't been kind and loving. And it's really put them off for a long, long time, if not for good. So, you know, we want to be producing these good fruit that are pointing people towards God and towards Jesus. So in the church that I'm at the moment, we've been looking at this new research that's come out called Talking Jesus. It's basically it's a company that on behalf of the church did a sort of survey, but they did it in the way that they normally would. So they've got a big, you know, sample of all people from over the country. And they've been asking them about what they think about God, what they think about Jesus, what they think about the church. And actually the results are quite encouraging when you look. But if we can have the next slide up, Chris. 53% of non-Christians said they knew a practicing Christian. So that's over half of the country know a practicing Christian. So imagine, you know, half the population are coming in contact with somebody who's a practicing Christian, not just someone who says they're a Christian on their form because they live in this country or whatever, but a practicing Christian. That's half the population. You know, you think how many people you meet in a week that aren't Christians. Maybe you're the only non-Christian, you're the only Christian they know, and you're the person that they're looking at to be showing them to Jesus and showing them the fruit. If we look at the next slide, people were asked what they thought about those people. Now, there are a few negatives at the bottom, but actually, these are the fruit we're talking about. 62% said the person was really friendly. 50% said the person was really caring. And I think they could only choose one of these, so it wasn't like the person that was friendly wasn't caring as well. 33% said they were good-humoured. 32% generous, authentic. So non-Christians are aware of the fruit that we're producing. This is what people were said when they were asked. You know, in fact, I was quite surprised at how many, you know, like I thought the sort of homophobic and narrow-minded bit at the bottom would actually be a lot bigger, to be honest, from what we're told in the news about what people think about Christians. But actually from that, you can see the positives by far outweigh the negatives. So, you know, non-Christians are aware of the fruit that we're producing. If we can put the fruit picture back up, I think it's there. Perfect. Lovely. Yeah, that one's fine. Either one, doesn't matter. So before we move on to the final point, just want everyone to have a look at those fruits. And we're just going to spend a few minutes. You can either do it on your own or chat to the person next to you if you want, about which one do you think God is really trying to develop in you at the minute. Have a think. I know what mine is straight away, patience. I'm the most impatient person in the world. I like things done. I like them done now, and I like them done properly. And I'd rather do it myself if someone's not going to do it properly, which is not a good not a good trait to have. I am working on it. I am trying, but that stands out to me straight away. There might be one that stands out to you straight away. There might not be. I just thought it'd be really nice now, before our last bit, just to chat to the person next to you about the one you think, and just pray for each other for a couple of minutes, you know, as to God helping you to do that in the coming weeks to come. So I'll give you a few minutes to do that. Right, now we get to the sort of not very popular bit of the verse that when we're reading it, we'd like to just ignore and pretend isn't there, about the pruning. It's quite nice to read the first bit and be like, yeah, that's lovely, we abide in God and we bear fruit, and then just forget about the pruning bit. But unfortunately, it is in the verse as well. So Jesus tells us he's the vine and his Father, God, is the gardener. And I don't know if you've ever seen, I mean, in my garden alone, but allotments and things, if you're really into your garden, I'm one of these, not particularly, I like it to look nice in the summer and then I just leave it to get on with itself. But if you're really dedicated to your garden or your allotment, gardeners work tirelessly to make the plants as fruitful as possible. And in the vines, the farmer does this twice a year. So in autumn, he cuts off all the dead branches and burns them. And then in spring, they prune to ensure that all the branches are going in the right direction. And that is to help the vine. So if there's branches that look too long, that might get damaged in the wind and snap off completely, they cut them back. Or if they're going in the wrong place where they're not going to produce fruit or not facing the right way, then they're cut back to help them to face the right way and to stop them going in the wrong direction. And pruning is for all of us. You know, every one of us, God prunes to help us to become more like him. But in spring, when the vine is pruned, the branches are alive. So this isn't dead branches, it's branches that are alive. So it can be painful. And for us as well, it can be painful when we're pruned. Not physically painful, but throughout our lives, God will prune us to take away or remove things, sometimes that are harmful for us. So sometimes things in our lives that aren't doing us any good, either spiritually or physically. But sometimes he can prune us in order to change our direction. And in those times, sometimes it can be things that are actually good, or that we feel are good. You know, good things that maybe we're doing in the church or we're doing in other places that need to be pruned in order for us to change direction or take something new up for God. And that can be really, really difficult, because if we know it's something that we're not doing right, that we need to improve, then that's kind of in some ways easier to deal with. You know, it can be hard to stop it if it's something you really like, but you know in your heart of hearts, actually, this isn't doing me any good. But when it's actually something good, that God actually says, actually, no, I don't want you to do that anymore. I want you to go and do something else. That can be really, really difficult and really, really painful. The different ways God prunes us, he does it in different ways. So it can be directly to you. It might be something you suddenly read in the Bible. you know, or something you hear in a talk that you know it's for you, you know, or God could speak directly to you when you pray. Or it might be something that, you know, you're thinking, oh, is God saying that? And then you go to a few places and different people or different things happen that say exactly the same thing. And you're like, okay, God's trying to tell me something there. Or it could be through others. And that's not like others putting us down to prune them, but others challenging in a good way, you know, in love. Everything we do should be done in love. And real love is about self-sacrifice and looking after other people's interests. So, you know, sometimes it might be that one, I remember when I was a teenager and I was like completely mad on Take That, more mad on them than I am now. One of my friends actually coming to me and saying, Anne, I really feel you're putting Take That before God. You're choosing to spend more time with them, listening to them, doing things than with me. And that was really hard for me to hear. I didn't like it at the time. And I was like, oh, you know, I probably didn't speak to him for a few weeks. But actually, like being honest, you know, it was right. They were right. And they felt God was saying that to them. And that must have been really hard for them to say to me as well. Especially as a teenager, I'm still not that gracious now, as my family will attain to you. But at the time, I was well known to throw a strop. So it wasn't easy for that person to come and say that to me at the time. But it is about, you know, as friends, as Christian friends, we should be encouraging each other, but also challenging each other. You know, not in a horrible way, like you're doing that, but, you know, it's not about that. It's about supporting each other to grow, to be more like God, and to say, oh, you know, I've noticed that at the minute. How are you feeling about that? Do you think that's kind of the right situation, you know, or God's been telling me this? But it's always done in love and in a loving way. And sometimes, you know, God can ask us to give up things or do things just for a season. And then that's the end of it after that. And that can be hard as well, because we see it going on for a long time. And then God says, no, actually, that was this season. It's finished now. You know, and it might be to make space for something else, or it might just be that he wants you to rest for a while. You know, it's time for you to rest at the minute, and you need to just spend more time with him. And that can also be difficult. And sometimes, which is even more difficult, is when we have to give something up that's not in our control and we don't understand why. So, you know, if you might have been made in your job, or, you know, I'm not just talking about in Christian circles, to give up something that you felt was the right thing. And we don't understand that. And that can be really hard. It can lead to us being frustrated and angry, and sometimes can just floor us completely and end up in us giving up. And to be honest, you know, sometimes later along the line, you can see why that happened. Other times, you might never know why that happened. You know, it's not always that we get the answers at the time, but as Christians, we have to trust that these things happen for a reason and that God is in us. And if we abide in him, he will show us the next way to go and the way that he wants us to go. And the reason why God is pruning us is so we can be more effective for him and produce more fruit. He's not doing it to be nasty. It's not something that's done out of being horrible. You know, when the gardener is pruning things, they're not going, oh, I hate this horrible flower from last year, I'm going to cut it back and kill it off. They're saying, I want this flower to grow even better next year. I want it to have more beautiful flowers. I want it to be healthy. So I'm cutting it back so that then it's got the strength to do that next time. So it's done from a place of love. And we know that because in Romans 8, verse 28, which I think we've got up on one of the slides. I don't know if I don't know that I did put it on there. For we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. And we need to hold on to that. God only works for our good, even if at that point it doesn't feel like it. He sees the bigger picture. We can only see a tiny bit of what's going on, but he sees everything. And also, he sees inside us. No matter how much we can try and, look beautiful on the outside for everything, everyone else, and put on a good front. God knows what's going on inside us. He knows us more than anybody. So he knows where we need to be pruned. You know, he knows what's going on. And I've got a picture. Can you put up the picture of a tree, Chris? So this tree, at first glance, looks like any other tree. But if you look at the bottom of it, it's actually uprooted and is lying down. So when you first look at it, you just think it's a normal tree. But actually, those branches are growing out of the side of it, coming up, and the trunk is on the floor. And that isn't how the tree was intended to be, but it is actually still attached. It's still attached in the ground, otherwise it wouldn't be growing. If it wasn't attached, it would be dead. And this is sometimes how we can feel. You know, when something happens to us, we can feel uprooted. We can feel like we've got, right, this is it now. There's nothing left for me now. I've been uprooted. This has stopped. This is the end of it. But God is in control. And if we remain in him like this, he will help us bear fruit, even though it's probably not in the way we imagined it to be. Okay, this tree, not the trees actually have an imagination, but if it did, it never imagined it would be lying down like this growing. But it looks beautiful and it's growing really healthily. But it's just not in the way that they thought it was meant to be. And that might be with us. It's not the way we thought it was meant to be, but it's the way that God wanted it to be. But unlike vines or plants that have clear seasons that we know, you know, we know all the plants, most of the plants in the winter are going to die down and then come back in the spring. Unfortunately, our lives aren't like that. We don't have nice planned bits. It would be really easy if we knew, okay, for these 3 months, we're going to have a bit of a tough time. But then in 3 months' time, spring's coming and it's all going to grow up again. It would make life so much easier. But that's not how lives work. And as a church, every one of you will be going through a different season at a different time. Nobody's doing it at the same time. Some people will be having a really good growing season where God's really speaking to them and growing them and they can really see things pushing forward. Other people will be having a really difficult season where God's maybe pruning them or just when different things are happening. And it's really important that we recognise that. God is doing different things with all of us all the time. And that's what we're there for, to support each other. And that's why it's different at different times. If we were all in the pruning place at the same time, it would be really hard for us to support and help each other because everyone would be feeling like that. But the ones that are growing at that time then have the faith and the push and the oomph to pray and support the ones that aren't. And then when their turn comes to be pruned and they're like that, the other people are growing, and that's how it works, so that we all support each other. So just before we finish, I've put some questions up. Just want you to really think on your own, really, at this time. If you feel you're in a season of pruning at the minute, is there something God's telling you to lay down or stop doing, but you're resisting it, or you haven't really thought about it much? Or has God already stopped you from doing something and you don't understand why? And how are you processing that at this time? You know, just this is just for you personally with God to sit and think about. And then the other way, if you're in a season of growth at the minute, what fruit is God developing in you? And is God growing you because he's asking you to take on something new for him? You know, this is a exciting times when you're like that and you feel actually God's really putting me on fire at the minute. But what is God asking you to do? You know, normally if God's doing that, it's for a reason. What is he asking you? Is it something new? He wants you to start serving here, doing something else? Or does he want to take you on a new direction somewhere else? What is he asking you to do? So we'll just have a few minutes before I pray to finish. Just quiet, just for you to have a chat with God and see what he's saying to you. Yeah, Lord, I just really pray that you will help each of us to hold on to that verse, that you work for the good of those who love you. And I just pray that whatever season we are in at the moment, that you will just speak to each one of us this morning about the next step Lord, for us, because our aim is to grow further towards you and to know you more. And we just pray that for each of us this morning, you will just really pinpoint that next step on our journey with you, Lord, I pray. Amen.